going down under to link up with our regular correspondent from there, Phil Mercer in Sydney. Good morning, Phil.
Yes, morning, Dotton. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you very much. And about time that I got in touch with my spiritual self, if you don't mind me saying so. You know where I'm going with this.
There's always a good opportunity for that.
Indeed. And you introduced us to a wonderful guest a while back, and we enjoyed her contribution to the programme so much, and we did ask you to bring her back, and you've done just that.
Yes, she's squeezed us into her busy schedule. She is Katie Brown. Katie is originally from the UK. She's based here in Sydney. She lives with her family on Sydney's northern beaches. She's a yoga teacher and an author. And we thought it would be a good time to reconnect with Katie, given that much of Eastern Australia in recent weeks, Dotton, has been battered by unprecedented floods and storms. There's a town called Lismore. This is about 450 miles to the north of Sydney, and it's almost been completely inundated by floods of which people have never seen before. So what we're seeing up there now is this massive cleanup is continuing, but doctors are saying that the incidence of not only gastro bugs, dehydration and skin ulcerations, there's also the onset of anxiety in these flood hit communities. And we thought it would be a good opportunity to speak to Katie once again, just to find out what people in those sort of traumatic situations can actually do to soothe themselves when they have almost nothing left. Many people are homeless. Many houses are now uninhabitable all across much of northern New South Wales and parts of Queensland. We had very serious floods here in Sydney as well. So this has been an issue that has affected much of Australia's eastern seaboard. Thanks very much for joining us today, Katie. If you can put yourself into the position of someone who is homeless, living in an evacuation centre near somewhere like Lismore in northern New South Wales, how can you, or what can you do to mentally sustain yourself when people feel so traumatised and panicked by what has happened to them?
Well, firstly, thank you so much for having me on the show again. I absolutely loved chatting to you last time, and I'm so delighted to be able to just talk to you again about this subject, which is just obviously so important, particularly at the moment. As you mentioned, we in Australia, I mean, across the world, we've just been, it feels like annihilated, you know, just battered by so many natural disasters and obviously the pandemic, and we've recently had all the flooding as well. So I think we really just have to kind of come back to basics, and we just need to have time to digest what's happened, time to focus on what's happening within our own bodies as well, rather than, you know, getting into this kind of conveyor belt of having to quickly get things done, do things, you know, build things up again. Just take that time to reflect and give ourselves that opportunity, that space to heal. And obviously I'm a yoga teacher and I specialize in guided relaxation. And that is an aspect which is about still. Kind of coming into a position where you feel really comfortable and supported by props. So you're not actually doing anything as such. You're actually being. And from this position of being fully supported, you begin to let go and soften into the body and relax and notice what's happening with your breath. And this helps you to come into the parasympathetic nervous system, which is responsible for rest and digest and healing. Whereas when we're in a situation where we're bombarded by stressful events, we come into the sympathetic nervous system, which is where we're reactive. And that puts us into this, over time, possibly even a chronic stressful state, which can then be detrimental to the mind and body.
Thank you. As, you know, echoing what Phil says, Katie, for joining us again. And
thank you.
I don't doubt that your advice or your guided relaxation, it will be very useful to people who've experience. It's a particular kind of trauma, isn't it? Your home being destroyed by a natural disaster. Like you quite rightly say, it's all over the world, here in Britain as well. It's been quite... It's almost an annual disaster now in parts of the country, flooding. And I've talked to people whose homes have been flooded, and it's so... I mean, genuinely, that people can barely get through a conversation without breaking down because it represents so much... and there's absolutely nothing they can do about it. It's frustration. Before we get on to the mindfulness, if you like, or the breathing techniques that will help people or guide people through situations like that, what do you say to somebody? What do you say to somebody who has had their home destroyed by water? What do you say to them?
Well, like you say, I mean, I think, it's again, it's that case of just listening and being there for them and knowing. A friend of mine, she lives in Lismore, and she lost everything. And I remember her saying that after that all happened, I mean, it's only recently as well, it started to rain again. And whereas before she used to enjoy the sound of the rain, the sound really caused her a lot of stress. And we're actually going into another forecast of four more really, really heavy rainfall over the next 4 days throughout the whole of this east coast of Australia. And yeah, it just feels like today it's sunny. And for us in Australia, that used to be, you know, the norm, really. And but this whole summer, it's just been relentless, the rain. And they're saying that there's now this flood fatigue that is coming through here. And so I think, you know, when you are speaking to people who've experienced this, it's just a case of just being there for them and offering what you can, and yeah, knowing that, yeah, that you're there for them. And yeah, that, it's very tough.
And this is, I mean, nothing to do with that, but let me just, if I may, just share something. Just yesterday evening, I had my first session with a trauma counsellor. It's nothing to do with the kind of devastation we're talking about. And I find it a little bit difficult to talk to people about, you know, things that really hurt. It's easy to talk to people about the joys of, like you say, rainfall. But if... Yeah. A natural occurrence like rainfall takes you into a very dark place. Fear, anxiety, panic. How do you guide people to relax? How can you relax when the rain's falling? How can you, through yoga, relax and... see the rain as being just a normal phenomenon that is actually or was pleasant? How can you get back to that stage?
That's a really good question. I know in Australia, I'm not sure about the UK, but probably is the case, we're doing a lot of trauma-aware yoga teaching because so many people now have some kind of trauma that they're dealing with. So, for example, really careful with the language that we use, and some people might find it quite challenging to close their eyes even. So you're always inviting people rather than instructing them in certain ways. So I think the way I approach it is I do a lot of restorative yoga with the guided relaxation practice. And so it's supporting people in an environment where they essentially feel safe. And so it may be very, very simple movements that feels okay for them, but often if someone has gone through a very traumatic experience, being in a class situation will be probably too confronting for them, so it might be a case of working individually with that person, and also obviously speaking with their therapist as well. So you're doing things that are going to support them and not cause any more stress or tension. I think it just comes down to, so quite simply, actually working with the breath can be massive, a huge help, and particularly extending the length of the exhalation, because as soon as we start to do that, and not to worry about the inhale so much, but long, slow, smooth exhalations can start to bring us back into that parasympathetic, that kind of relaxed state more.
Is that breathing in through the nose, though, and exhaling through the mouth? Is there a technique?
There is, yeah. Typically in yoga, you tend to breathe in and out through the nose. But in more restorative yoga practices, I actually quite prefer to breathe in through the nose and then lightly part the lips and allow the breath to release slowly out through the lips. So you're exhaling. And I have a breathing practice called Golden Ribbon Breath, where as you breathe out, you can actually imagine perhaps that your breath, your exhale is like a soft golden ribbon of light which is unfurling into the distance. And you watch it in your mind's eye and have a sense of releasing every particle of air. And as you build on this and then just breathing in, each exhalation, you can then start to let go of thoughts. You can let go of any heaviness or tension within the body, let go of any tightness.
I'm doing it as you speak. I'm doing it as you speak. I haven't been able to. I was generally doing it, and then you mentioned the golden ribbon, and I slightly, you know, I was like, whoa! where can I imagine a golden ribbon? I couldn't quite get there, but the.
Oh, well, that wasn't the... I would actually probably take a bit longer to get you into that. I've actually got this other kind of... imagine that, you know, as you exhale, that breath is becoming longer and smoother and perhaps even dancing away in a gentle fluid pattern away from the body, almost like mist rising over a lake at dawn. And so sometimes it's nice to imagine something. Take yourself to some beautiful... calm, soothing place, and it's like a visual journey, and then your body starts to relax. So as your breath begins to lengthen, that sends a signal to the mind to begin to quieten and slow, and then the body begins to settle, and then it's almost like this kind of cyclical thing. So the more relaxed you feel, the slower your mind is, the slower your breath becomes, and you start to find yourself in that state of deep conscious relaxation.
I hope you're following this, Phil, because I've been doing all the heavy lifting in this, and to be frank,
breathing by the sounds of it.
You are, yeah. Very good point.
It's a different issue altogether.
Indeed. But does it work for you? Are you with us on this, Phil?
Well, I remember speaking to Katie before, and I think you'll correct me if I'm wrong, Katie, in that you mentioned previously that we take about 20,000 breaths in a day. Do you get the sense that perhaps we most of us see it simply as a functional physical thing of drawing air into our bodies and then it expelling the what's left over, without actually thinking of the therapeutic and the spiritual value of actually using your lungs for the way in which you describe?
Absolutely. I mean, it's with us all the time. A lot of my work actually stemmed from the fact that I used to do a lot of natural birthing workshops, and it's all on the breath. And as soon as you start to lengthen the exhalation, your body comes into this beautiful birthing zone. I'm not kind of proposing that you do that, but I kind of
try
also
anything,
thought that,
actually.
You know,
yeah.
That why should, you know, like all of us can benefit from this practice. It's a way to calm yourself, you know, and also it's been, you know, long as ancient practice, but it's something we tend to forget because we just do it all the time really unconsciously. And when we're quite stressed, we breathe fairly quickly and we do shallow breaths, and we can almost hyperventilate sometimes. But what we need to do is just switch that by taking that long, slow exhale, and then that sending that signal to the nervous system to begin to relax. So it's something that the more you practice, the easier it is to do, and the quicker the effects will take place. And, you know, this happens to all of us. You know, I often get stressed and, you know, take on too many things, but I just have to keep reminding myself to come back to the breath all the time.
I think you have...
Sorry,
you go ahead.
So I was just going to ask quickly, can you do this in a micro way, Katie? We think of people having a micro sleep or a nap during the day just to recharge their batteries. For people who don't have the luxury of being able to lie down or have a yoga mat, people who are commuting, people who are very busy, is it possible to squeeze all of this relaxation into just a couple of minutes that people might be able to find, rather than having the luxury of half an hour just to spread out in the lounge?
Absolutely, completely. And actually, one other thing that I tend to do, so for example, say you're in a queue in a line and you're getting a bit stressed or something's happened, I just take hold of one hand. So for example, I've got the back of my right hand in the palm of my left hand, and I put my left thumb in the center of my right palm, and I start to just gently press into that space and circle around. And that helps you, that actually is a solar plexus point, which helps to deepen the breath as well. So then if you do that in connection with the breath as well, so taking a deep breath in through the nose, lightly part the lips as if you've got just a piece of paper between the lips, and then allow the breath to release all the way out, slow, smooth out through the mouth. Take a breath in again, just gently pressing down into that point within the palm and exhaling. And you might like to just to balance yourself out, just take the right thumb to the left palm and just gently press into that point too.
Doing that.
Breath in through the nose. So that would just take you a minute, and
it feels like something. And I don't know if it's because, you know, you are guiding me or guiding us, because I'm sure I'm not the only person in the UK doing this now. I don't know if it's because you're pushing the mood in words into us. And we're feeling, but it does actually feel like something. Yeah, it feels like something. It does feel as if I'm...
It's working.
Am I feeling relaxed? Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit more relaxed.
Well, that's great. Well, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And then it starts to become like a second nature thing. And that's the beauty with this, is that you could be anywhere and people would have no idea what you were doing. You can just do this silently. You know, I often do this. And there's another point, actually, and that's why I think in yoga we tend to put our hands together in prayer position at the heart. And where you have the thumbs residing there at the sternum, at the breastbone, that's another point which is extremely calming. Because I do massage as well, so that's why I kind of, and I've done yin yoga where we look at meridians and acupressure points. So that's another really lovely calming point. Just a gentle pressure at that point, and just allowing the breath to, again, to slow down.
And do we have to have our backs straight? Like, you see yoga teachers, you know, they cross their legs. I can't do the cross leg bit. I mean, could once upon a time, but, you know, with age. Well, yep. I suppose some people who are a lot older than me can do it as well. I bet Her Majesty the Queen can fold her legs, you know, and sit in a yoga position with a straight back. But at half her age... A little bit more than half her age, but let's call it half her age. But, you know, we're not going to quibble about the 10 years difference. More or less half her age with 10 years and a bit more added on. Anyway, just don't quibble. Yeah. Age ain't nothing but a number in yoga. But why can't I get my back straight? I mean, do I have to have it straight?
No. You see, that's why I love restorative, because it's about supporting the body. And meditation, ideally, you do have your back straight. You're sitting quite upright and in lotus position or cross-legged, ideally. But restorative's different. It's about using props. There are certain, you align the body in certain shapes, so you support the body using blankets or pillows. And you can lie down on your back in Shavasana, and just to put a cushion pillow under the knees, you don't have to spend lots of money on expensive props, is maybe all you need. And just resting the arms out beside the body, palms facing up, making sure the shoulders are soft, making sure the forehead is just fractionally higher than the chin, so the back of the neck is long. and then just allowing yourself just to come into that space, but making sure that the body feels comfortable and supported, and it feels effortless, so you're not having to do anything to hold the position. And then you start to relax and breathe into it, and then that kind of creates this lovely chain reaction where you start to let go and unravel that tension that you might have been holding within the body.
And continuing this journey through breath, is it a journey that we're more amenable to whilst we're asleep? Because obviously I don't snore, you know. I mean,
yeah, of course.
Just don't. I mean, my missus hears the neighbour next door snoring, but you know, I never snore. And the snore apparently from the neighbour is quite prolonged on the exhalation. Do you know what I mean? It goes. But that's not me. And I wonder whether in that relaxed mode, in that unconscious or semi-conscious, if you like, mode, we're more likely to breathe, maybe like a baby, in a more natural way than we would whilst in our waking hours.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you do your guided relaxation before you go to bed, then you tend to sleep in a, you know, have a deeper sleep, more restful sleep as well. So yeah, that definitely helps.
But then when you wake up and the damage of the flood is still there on your house, when you come out of your reverie, whether you're doing it in the waking hours or whenever, when you come out of this yoga position, okay, you've been relaxed whilst you're doing it, but are you now not back to the anxiety of like, oh my word, what am I going to do, etc.?
Well, I think one of the other benefits of this practice is that it clears your thinking and it gives you perspective. When we're feeling really stressed and anxious, we kind of tend to react to things and we see the negative. When we start to relax, we kind of have this feeling, this sense of well-being. And it also, it just helps us kind of see things in a clearer light. So we're perhaps not quite so attached to things as well. So it's something that we do regularly, and then over time it will start incrementally to start helping you cope with that anxiety. It's not going to take things away overnight or anything like that, but it's definitely a way that you can help yourself deal with stressful events.
Phil,
it's a great practice to do on a regular basis, so then it becomes a natural kind of default, and you find it easier to get into that natural deep relaxation. It will become quick and easier for you.
I was going to say, Phil, to a certain extent, as broadcasters, we do something called circular breathing, as you are well aware. And there is, I suppose, it doesn't relax you in the way that Katie's saying, because actually circular breathing is to measure the way that your word flow, the cadence of your voice, etc. But it's not unlike what Katie is saying, is it? You know, particularly we use the diaphragm very much to regulate the breathing.
I think that when you're a broadcaster, it's similar to, say, taking a penalty, that you need to have a certain amount of nerves just to keep you alert. I think that if you're too relaxed, if you think it's too easy, that's when mistakes can be made. So it's striking that balance between being relaxed and being able to think properly without being so relaxed that you start making mistakes. So, I think that perhaps in the wider world, these sort of lessons should be, I don't know, taught at school. Katie, do you get the sense that perhaps sort of Australia-like in Britain, where we're too aligned to sort of pharmaceutical remedies or therapies for this, rather than
definitely
looking with what we've got?
Absolutely. I've actually got a section for relaxations for children in the book and breathing practices. And it's, yeah, it's something that I think you should be doing from a really early age and family members doing together. Yeah, and it's interesting with the stress because you do need a certain amount of stress to function. And there's something called eustress, which is giving you that kind of extra slight adrenaline hit that will help you perform well in a meeting or at a presentation or doing a broadcast or something like that. But what's important is that you then have downtime afterwards to let that dissipate and then come back into that lovely parasympathetic nervous system. So yeah, so all these practices will help you do that.
I say not me with regards to taking the medications, but it does work for people. You know, sometimes I think you will accept, Katie, that the breathing techniques that yoga does offer doesn't always work for people, and sometimes, you know, you have to look elsewhere for some help. Whether it be through a counsellor, for example, therapist, if you like, or medication, you know, that sometimes, yep. And maybe a combination, does a combination work?
Absolutely. I think, you know, the more support you have for yourself, the better, really. And whatever fits you, whatever works for you at that time is right for you, too. And I mean, I guess going back to the natural childbirth workshops, one of the worst things you can do is kind of make people feel they've failed in some way if they take medication or they have a cesarean or something. You know, it's not about that at all. It's about giving yourself these tools that you can help yourself. And certainly not cutting out other therapies or medicines or anything like that. No, I'm totally... And for me, that's what yoga's about. It's about being really flexible and open and non-judgmental. So, yeah, absolutely.
Dave in Warrington says, this pressure point thing is like reflexology. He says, similarly, and I don't know what you make of this, he says, similarly, in bed, you can press your big toe against the midline of your other foot, just below the toe line, and it sends him off to sleep anyway.
And, yeah, which is just kind of just below the knee. I don't know, I don't really access this point easily. Just below the knee, about 3 centimetres, and just out to, say, the left, so I'm on my left knee, just out to the left, to the outside of the leg. Lower leg, and just gently massaging into that point.
Well, are
but
you
there's
doing
just
it
so
right
many
now?
Little.
Are you doing
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my goodness, when you said you can't access it, I was like, what? Oh my goodness. Oh wow. So are you in a lotus position as we speak?
Well, I guess I'm cross legged, yeah.
Word.
There's another point underneath the little finger at the crease of the wrist. That's the heart 7. That's very nourishing for the heart and very calming for the mind too. So, yeah, there's just some really nice little points that you can access and focus on your breath. And
no wonder you haven't been wound up by any of my inane questions, because you are actually meditating in a yoga lotus position as we speak. I should have done that.
I was nervous before this. I always am, you know, and even when before I teach a yoga class. And so I use these exercises all the time myself. So, yes, yeah.
I'm assuming that you were also in a lotus position, Phil.
If I was, Don, no, I don't think I'd be getting up anytime
that's,
soon.
That's exactly the same reason as why I didn't do it.
I did a yoga class... not recently, and the instructor was asking us how we felt, and I did say I had the flexibility of a garden shed, and yeah, she quickly moved on to someone else who was within her capabilities, I think.
I'll tell you what, Katie, you've managed to make the last 30 minutes go by so quickly. I literally looked at my clock. I missed the news.
Wow, that did go fast.
It did, actually.
No, better not miss the news.
No, just missed it. But at least missed going to it on time. I can't wind back the clock. I wish I could. I genuinely am really thankful to you. Can people get hold of you or find out some more, because you've written some books about this? Is there a website or something?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm so excited because I've just got a UK publisher for the book. So it's criticalpublishing.com. And the book's actually available. You can go into any bookshop, I believe, now and pre-order it too. And I've also got my website. It's called Guided Relaxation.
Oh, right.
Your essential guide to creating calm. And so, yeah, so that's Critical Publishing.
I don't need to tell you how much we need a little bit of calm in this world of ours, eh? Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, it's been lovely to talk to you both.
Well,
thank you.
We'll do it again. And next time, I'll get the whole gang to sit in a lotus position and see what difference it makes.
Well, anytime you want to feel calm, give me a buzz.
Yeah. It might have to be in the last hour of the programme or the last half hour of the programme, because like Phil says, I may not be able to get up again to read the news. Thank you. I really appreciate
it. Thank you.
And thanks, Phil.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, inviting Katie back as well. Really appreciate it, Phil. Thanks to Phil Mercer, our correspondent in Sydney. Thanks to Katie Brown. And, well, you know, where to get some relaxation from her, but other books I'm sure are available as well. It's 4:34.